They had to get discouraged, you know, because daddy had cancer and brother had cancer and, you know, diagnosed him with it and he's got to go chemotherapy and all that stuff. And he got out there every morning. Somebody say every morning. Every morning brought his family in there and preached to them. What a good God that he served, healing God. He said the devil may have stuck his head up, but he ain't going to win. And you know what? He come out of that cancer, hallelujah, praise God. Had no match for our God, hallelujah. And you know what? That's why God has us raised up in faith, hallelujah. So because all sickness and disease you can go with and find it in the Bible didn't come from God. It came from sin. When sin entered in, sickness and death. I mean, they lived 800-900 years old, hallelujah. Back in the Bible, by the early Bible times, hallelujah. But you know what? The Bible says that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death. All of it, we've been redeemed from it, Galatians 3:13. We've been redeemed, and so we're to live like we're redeemed. We're to believe like we're redeemed. We're to speak like we're redeemed, and we curse cancer in our families in Jesus' name. We curse COVID, hallelujah, in our families, hallelujah, praise God. We curse it. We command, we loose the anointing. I just got a hold of some stuff in Sunday school. I'm loosening, binding. How about you? Hallelujah. We stand strong. God's looking, God's got, and he's been doing it to us, building his people strong so that when the pressures of this world and the demonic forces and all of that rage around us and in our families and try to affect the church, that we have the shield of faith, that we're strong because we've been exercising our faith. We've been working on it in our finances. We've been working on it in our marriages. We've been working on it in our businesses or workplace. We've been working on it around. We've been working on our faith. We've been listening. Now we're strong. You're not a Christian trying to get victory. You are walking from a standpoint of victory. And Satan wants you to defeat yourself by your thoughts and your emotions and your feelings. Hallelujah. The way we feel and all of that stuff. But God wants us strong under pressure. But I can tell you, I've preached it down these lines Sunday, Wednesday night. But I was reflecting back all the way back to 27 years old when I give my heart to Jesus Christ. When I ask him, Lord, if you're really real, come into my life. Why don't you help me? That's all I told him. I didn't have an altar anywhere. But I was at an altar, you know. I was in the presence of the Lord, didn't even know it. But I began to reflect back all the way back, you know, on how come that I stand in what faith I stand in today, praise God, because the Bible says that he will take you from faith to faith and from glory to glory. He will take you from faith to faith, different levels of faith, and from one level of glory to another level of God's glory. Hallelujah. And I went all the way back thinking about it, you know, because there's one thing that I want and desire in this last hour that we live in is to be effective in what I minister. I want it to be effective in your life. I want it to be out of the Spirit of God. And I want it to be not just a good little sermonette, but it's something that you go out and you get under all that pressure and you have been built strong. Well, I begin to think about it, you know, and put that Psalms up there. We read it Wednesday. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You know, I'm going to say it again because this is a revelation to me that I got years and years and years ago. I evangelized for 7 years, and I've a lot of churches I'd go to. And, of course, you know, they got testimony service, and then they have, you know, prayer requests and the majority of all of the heard in the prayer thing was, you know, pray for me, the devil's this, and the devil's that, and the devil's this. And I wouldn't doubt, I'm like, oh man, he's got all of their numbers. You know, but they would quote this scripture, some of them, and a lot of them, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And you would hear it all over the church, amen, amen, amen. Well, I turned my Bible over there one morning when I was at this church, and they said it, and I thought, well, I'm going to see that for myself. So I turned over there, and I'm not but about 28 at that time. You know, I turned over there for myself, and I realized they was leaving the best part out. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Glory to God. When I read that, I jumped up in that church and I said, hey, read the rest of that. Bless God. I mean, all of a sudden it was a revelation to me, praise God, that you know what? Many are the afflictions that are going to come into my life. I'm going to have many. Many's going to come in my walk with the Lord. I just went ahead and girded up my mind right then. Paul says, gird up your mind for action. So I went ahead and got ready. I said, glory to God, no weapons formed. They going to form, they going to come, Satan's going to attack, you know. But the Lord is going to deliver me out of them all. And I can tell you, I stand a 30-year Christian today, and I can't remember not one thing that God did not deliver me and Teresa out of when we stayed in faith. Not one. Not one battle will you lose if you don't lose faith. Not one battle. That is your victory. And it came from the Lord. Faith is not natural. It's not a natural faith. It is the force of God, and that's what puts you out on the front lines. And black God, you know, I mean, taking the chance of going to jail to preach this gospel. The government would love to shut me down, but they can't. They can take away our 501c. I don't use the garbage anyways. When it comes down to toning down the scriptures to where God's people are faithless and powerless, the 501's gone. Money don't mean nothing. Right? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. But it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And I looked up afflictions, and I want to read some of them to you. This is not even all of them. Evil, adversity, affliction, calamity, displeasure, distress, grief, mischief, misery, trouble. All of these, there's a lot more. I just wrote down some of the main ones I felt like, you know, I'm going to read them again. Many are the evil things that will come against you. Adversities. I mean, I just came through a financial trial. I've been up there, you know, I'm doing real well. Went 2 or 3 weeks, blah, 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 you know. Got down there, praise the Lord, you know, and going through a financial trial. And I thought, I'm going to be steady. I'm not going to change my thinking. I'm not going to change my actions. I'm not going to change anything. And praise God, in 1 week I was delivered. Why? Because many are the afflictions of the righteous. He going to come to your marriage. He going to come to you going to the house of God. But I was thinking about all the way back. I thought, Satan's never been able to stop me. I'm not afraid of Satan. I'm not scared of him. And I've had preachers one time, I told them, I was standing there, and there's the devil's in their church, in this church. And I said, I double dog dare the devil to mess with me. They're like, oh man, you shouldn't mess with him like that, and you know, and I mean, like, don't wake the dog up. He's already awake. He's got y'all. He's got y'all, and you don't even know it. You're afraid of him. We're supposed to be taking up serpents. We're supposed to be casting out devils. We're supposed to be binding principalities and powers. We're supposed to be loosened. They're scared of this church. And he tries his very best to keep the ones that's supposed to be in this church. They know that God's put them in the... He tries to keep them away from it. He attacks them on Saturday night. The kids start acting up. They don't go to bed till 3 o'clock in the morning. Can't get up and go. Or he attacks them, you know, I need a vacation from church. All kinds of things. Why? Because the Bible says the gifts of God are given to the body, and we being knit together in love, growing up in Him in the fullness of all things. See, Satan knows all that. But there's one thing about God that we can rest assured and our hearts can be steadfast in. He is faithful. He's faithful to them to let them know you need to do this. And you cannot go run off a bridge spiritually, run off a bridge that's not there without the Holy Spirit saying, stop, 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 go to church, whatever. You know, I thought all the way back, I thought, you know what, the first thing that I really had a great trial back when I was 27 years old, and I knew that it was God's will for us to be faithful to church. I didn't know the scriptures, Hebrews, forsake not the assembling. I didn't know none of that, but I knew the one that started the church now. And I knew on the inside, you don't have to know scripture to know the will of God. It's good. He backs everything up with his scripture. I mean, the word of God convinces you and all of that. But if you know him, you know truth. Because he is truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. And the Holy Spirit will only reveal to you what the heart of the Father is for you. He knows the heart of God. He knows the mind of God. He searches the heart and mind of God, the Bible says. Well, I mean, the first thing on a Wednesday night, we come in and I had a half a quarter of a tank of gas in my car, and I looked at it. I looked at the car, you know, and I said, I turned the switch on, went in there. I said, we can't go tonight. We ain't got the half tank. Teresa, she's all fired up. Something's good's going to happen tonight. I just know something's good's going to happen tonight. I mean, it's on Wednesday night. Now, see, I'm kind of fleshy because I've worked from 5 o'clock that morning till 5 o'clock that afternoon toting sheetrock and lumber, and that was my job. It was a hard job, you know, and different things, you know, and really I didn't want to go anyways. I mean, to be honest with you, I was tired. I thought, man, I ain't even got time to eat supper, you know, and all of this stuff because I got to get. But you know what? I thought, glory to God, she's right. She's right. And so I said, we're going. I said, God will take care of us. Praise God. And so we go with a half a quarter of a tank of gas and no money on a Wednesday night. Travis was about one and a half. He's in a car seat, you know, and we go, and it's stormy that night, you know. But we go and everything, and I thought, God will take care of us. Somebody at church will give us gas or something. Now, I'm talking about strong under pressure. I'm not talking about my life. I'm talking about the life of Jesus Christ now. He empowers those that engage, like Teresa was talking about. And I mean, he brings miracles to those that engage in standing on the word for their healing or for their sister or for their brother or for their whatever. That's being engaging in faith, saying it over and over. Well, anyways, we go and we go to church, and man, it was good that night. You know what I mean? A good praise and worship going on, good preaching and all that. And I mean, we get out, and nobody gives me any money or anything, you know. And we get out in the car, and man, we can't shut up about the Lord. We're just, you know, because the services are good. And when you come to church in faith like that, that's what you get, good. He'll withhold not one good thing from those who walk upright. Not that you're perfect. Your heart's after him. David wasn't a perfect man, but he was a man after God's heart because he had a heart that would repent and change and do what God wanted. He wasn't a perfect man, but God called him. I read that one time and I thought, how can God do that? The dude did some evil stuff here. You know, but then I've got to going on and got a bigger understanding of David's heart. When he knew he was wrong, he'd repent. And I mean change in everything, and that's what God does. We're people after God's own heart. Well, anyways, get out, you know, and I get back to Bluntsville and we're past empty, and I'm like, oh God. And I mean it's raining, thunderstorming and all of that, you know, and I mean, it's just coming down, and it's probably about 9:15 or so, and we make it over to what they call Cleveland Stretch, and you know, if you've always been a broke, busted, disgusted man all your life, when you start running out of gas, you're rocking. People think you're drunk. You're going from one side of the road to the other. Boy, you know that you can slosh that little bit of gas that's in there over and suck it up there and go on a little further. So we make it all the way over to the foot of Berry Mountain. And I turn and the car dies. It's pouring down rain, dark. I got my wife and kid in the car. You know, it's dangerous. I'm about a mile or so from the house. I told Teresa, I said, I pumped it till the battery went click, 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 click. I run it slap down trying to get it to crank. It was clicking. And so I looked at Teresa and I said, look, I said, for no reason, I said, do not unlock the doors on this car until you know that it's me. And I'm fixing to get out in that pouring down lightning rain and leave my family on a dark highway, you know, and run. I got to run about a mile or so, probably a little over a mile. I had a truck up there, and I was going to get the truck. I reached to open the door, and all of a sudden, I remembered the scripture. He said he would supply all of my needs according to his riches, and I laid my hands on that car, and I said, I command you to start. In the name of Jesus, my God supplies all of my... And I didn't even turn that switch over and that car fired up. I mean, barely just hit it. It was clicking just a second or two ago. That car fired up and I looked at Teresa and I'm amazed. And she said, go! And I said, okay. Man, we drove and we pulled in under the carport and we just sat there looking at one another. We sat there, the car's running off God. We knew that, see, what I'm saying is the pressure of not having no gas ain't going to keep me from church, see. I went on anyways. Well, when I come in the next day, I poured gas in there, and I mean, it wouldn't start up. I tried it the next morning, it wouldn't start. So when I got in, I put some gas in it, and I had to fill the carburetor up twice. I don't know if you know how to do that or not. You know, you got an overflow on there, so take a little bottle and fill your carburetor up, you know. And so it took two tanks in the carburetor for it to pick that fuel up. And I thought, I'm thinking, glory to God, this faith thing is awesome. I thought, man, there ain't nothing to stop the will of God. God caused his angels or something. I don't know what it was running off of. And people have said, are you sure you was out of gas? And I'm like, don't talk to me about that no more. Because now you're trying to get me to doubt what miracle happened to me in my car. And I'm not going to talk to you about that anymore because I'm not going to reason this out right here and limit my God. See, you can't limit your God. You don't limit him. Psalm 78 says they drawed back and they limited. They kept walking toward the promised land. But in their hearts, they drawed back. You know why I believe they did that? I would have probably did it too if I'd have been them. I don't know, man. I mean, it was a challenge out there. They had left everything they were familiar with, their home. They had been raised, most of them was raised in slavery. They didn't know freedom. They didn't know make their own choices. A guy, he went to prison one time, went to church here, brought his family here, and he said, God said to take care of my family. I said, are you serious? He told me to take care of them. They're going to prison, you know. I said, well, if God said it, I said, God will take care of them. But anyhow, he goes to prison. I don't remember a couple of years or three, however long it was. But it was a long time. And I went to Tuscaloosa and visited him a time or two and talked to him, you know, ministered to him pretty often, you know, and everything. And then he got out, and he got out into a halfway house, you know. And they want you to get a job. And then, you know, and so then they take so much of your money and all that stuff. And so he was down in Birmingham. And so the Lord said, I want you to go pick him up. I want you to give him a job. And I want you to go pick him up. And I'm like, good God Almighty, I got to be at work at 7 o'clock. And I got to drive. I'm going to have to leave at 3:30 in the morning. I did this. I'm going to have to. See, the will of God is doable. And when you, but I didn't want to go at 3. I did not. And then I got to go pick him up, and then I got to bring him back, and I got to put him to work, and I got to pay him, and then I got to take him home every evening. So, you know, this is putting a great amount of stress on me. You know, I'm running a business. I'm running the church. I got these horses. I rented a pastor and put them in it. I've done a lot because I knew it was the will of God. But you know what? God brought all the means to me. He gave me the arena in Hantsville down there, the wrestling arena. He told me, he said, go to Hantsville. And I went to Hantsville because I didn't have nothing for him to do. He didn't know how to put garage doors in. And so I'm on my way to Hantsville, and my phone rings, and it's the guy that owned the wrestling arena down yonder. I didn't know him. Somebody gave me your number and said, you can do this. I went down there, and I looked at it, and I said, what you want? And he said, I want all this right here, and blah, blah, blah. I said, you better believe I can do it. I can't even do it. But he was in construction, built houses and stuff. The guy that I went was picking up. And so I go down. I said, I'll do it. I give him a price on it, and I said, I'll do it. So then I went to the guy, and I picked him up, you know, and I said, I'm telling you this for a reason. I'm going to give you, I said, I know they're going to take some of the money. I said, so I'm going to put you on a salary. I said, I'm just going to pay you a salary of $200 a week. I said, and what I'm going to do? He said, are they going to let you do that? I said, they don't got a choice. So I called him up, and I said, I'll tell you what I'm willing to do. I said, y'all don't need him in there, and y'all need him making money. I'm going to give him a salary, $200 a week. And if that's agreeable to y'all guys, then I'm going to hire him, and I'm going to get him in after tomorrow. Yes, sir, that'll be good. Well, we come on. Why I'm telling you this is he gets out, and he couldn't even make no choices because they've been making choices for him the whole time he's down there. You didn't go eat and shower when you wanted to. You're in prison. I mean, they made choices for him. What time you get up? What time you go to bed? What time you get out for an hour? What you watch? What you do? And he had been, his mind had been so to that till he couldn't make no choices. And I looked at him and I thought, man, he was a strong guy out here. He's a drug dealer and all this stuff. Boy, he's making money. You know, drugs, and now this thing's worked him up. Well, see, why I'm telling you that, I had to go get help him get back into making decisions, little decisions. Hadn't seen his wife in a couple of years, and I told him, see, God puts you in position. That's what I'm saying. And when you're walking with God and walking in faith and all of that, he's going to ask you to do things that other folk, he's asked them to do, but they won't go do what he asked them to do, see? And so you're next in line, and he comes, but you know what? He expects me and you to gear up and say, yes, sir, whatever your will is, God, well, then if it's impossible, all things are possible if I believe you, praise God. I made it through all of that, and I was at work on time. I wasn't ever late for work. I own the business. I mean, it's not good for a boss to be late every day, right? The boss needs to be on time or before, because the other ones are like, well, the boss is always late. This would us run late too. Praise God. Well, you know what? Started one day, and I told him, you hadn't seen your family in a long time. I said, I'm going to pay you today. I said, I'm going to take you to your house, and you stay home with your family today. Oh, what are they going to say about that? I said, they can't say nothing. I own you right now. I said, you're going to do what I say, or I'm going to fire you and take you back. Are you going to do what I tell you to do? I own you right now. Oh, I mean, I don't want any trouble. I said, I got you right now. See, the little decisions, He couldn't get free from the mind control. See, Satan wants mind control of you so that you're held captive in your mind of sickness and disease and calamity and all of that. We're not to be afraid of the afflictions. We're to know that our Lord, our Deliverer, our God will bring us out. Hallelujah. And so he says, well, they're going to get mad. I said, well, I'll call them, tell them I'm firing you, take you back down there, and they'll change their mind. I said, what you do with me, as long as you're not doing nothing illegal, I can pay you to stay home, man. So I took him home, and left him home all day with his family. He getting paid to stay with his family. That's the God he served. Well, he got saved and that bit him, and he had to go to prison, and he fasted and prayed and started preaching in the prison while he was in prison. Hallelujah. He started ministering the gospel. He come out here, we sent him on missions to Mexico and different things, you know. But see, the system had controlled his mind for a little while, and he let it do it. You can let Satan control your mind and get you bound up in fear and get you bound up in not realizing that God is a big God. Hallelujah. He says God's going to deliver you out of your destruction. He's going to deliver you out of your trial. The next trial's ahead of me, Johnny. I know. I'm not dumb. I've been in this 30 years. I mean, it's just a matter of when it gets here. But I done made up my mind what I'm going to do with it when it gets here. Nothing. I'm going to treat it like nothing. I'm going to roll it over on the Lord, and I'm going to say, many of the afflictions, but and I'm going to tell it, but my God's already delivered me out of it. He may not take the trouble away, but he'll give you the faith and the courage and the strength to go through the walk. I mean, Johnny stood on the Word of God, 17 years. That might not be nothing. I'm like, well, I told Travis, he told me I'll fire you. I'll tell him sometime, fire me, boy. I'll call Mama and come get me, and I'll leave you right up here. You just fire me. I don't care if you fire me or not. Well, now, Johnny, you know, he'd done 17 years, and they don't know how to go get a job, and all of that, and facing that right there. What am I going to do? And then Samantha, she done got lazy and quit. Nah, I'm kidding. Half the income done gone, you know, and all that. But I saw him stay steady. But you know what? I believe the reason why is because he used to be a part-time Christian. I believe he used to be part-time, come to church unless the flea market needs me. You know, he'd go flea market. We didn't go to church one time, and I went to the flea market, and I see people all, I'm dodging the aisles. I'm not going, I'm like, my God, everybody up here that knows me, I can't even enjoy the flea market on Sunday. But you know, praise God, but I seen Johnny when him and his family went through a great trial for a couple of years. It wasn't just a week or two. I mean, I thought the boy done turning into a white boy, he's fasting so much. His belt was got to where it wouldn't hold his pants up good. He getting skinny, I'm like, good Lord, this dude's fasting, man. He's got to be fasting. I know he ain't on no diet, he wasn't fat anyhow. But what I seen him when he began to hear, forsake not the assembling. He began to hear, you know, be faithful in church. I've been preaching this thing for a long time, and I'm big on being faithful to church. I'm big because I know that big God on the inside of us, one time a week or more, is going to add and increase, and it's a midweek fill up. It's a midweek stir up. It's a midweek add to. It's a midweek filling station. Hallelujah. That'll get you through the rest, to help you to maneuver in faith the rest of the week. Everybody's making it. But there's a lot of them ain't making it, feeling good about life. And you know, life is just not good to them. They don't feel good, blah, 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 blah. And they are those that's engaged. And I saw, it didn't shock me when you stood the way you did. And God gave him a raise, and he only a minute and a half away from where he did work. And I mean, he's thinking, got to go to Birmingham or got to go to Huntsville or somewhere to get a job. But the job was right there already. And I asked him to get a job. He said, well, Lord, he'll work it out. That's all you got to do. No, God, brother, got to pray. I'm about to try to have a heart attack like Fred Sanford. I'm coming to join you, Elizabeth. Oh, my life is just in shambles. And I guarantee you, he felt out of place. I guarantee you, things felt out of control. I guarantee you, things tried to come, and the calamity, the fear, the all of that. I guarantee you, he didn't feel normal, because when you're in a battle and having to fight, those feelings and emotions are normal to feel like things are out of control, things things might not work out. Those are the flesh side. And when they come to your thoughts, the Satan will come to you and you're not going to make it. You're not going to have the good life like you've been believing. You're not. Well, you're going to be better. He got a big chunk raise. And I mean, ain't got to spend no more gas money than he was. Hallelujah. Samantha don't have to go back to work. Praise God. She can sew out and knit all that, and her and Beth can just chit-chat all day. Pop, pop, beep, bing, bing, bing. Just have a good old time. Hallelujah. But you know, if you're all giving in to the afflictions, you're all thinking about the afflictions all the time and all of that, you can't go and enjoy your life. God wants you to enjoy your life. God wants you to be peaceful on the inside. You know, how many knows that God wants His people strong in adversity? You almost need to welcome it. Well, don't the Bible say over there in James, count it all, woo, thank you, God. Count it all, woo, I'm in another trial, baby. We need to come through the door. Glory to God, I'm in another one. Hallelujah, I'm in another trial. How about you? Yeah, baby, I'm in one too. Glory to God. Glory to God. Sounds funny, but I try to do that. Count it all joy when you fall into adversity, knowing this, that the testing of your faith works some endurance. And once you're up under endurance, you're just like a duck out on the water in the middle of the winter. You thinking that duck's freezing, and he's just going down. He's getting you some fish or whatever. He comes up and he's just as dry as he was when he went under. God told me one time, He said, you need to be like that duck. I thought, oh my God, it's cold out there. He wasn't talking about that. See, the cold water wasn't bothering the duck. The duck's covered. How many knows we covered by the blood of Jesus? We're washed in the blood of Jesus. We're baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, ask the Lord. Go find you the scriptures in there. The infilling, dwelling, the Holy Ghost with evidence of praying in tongues. Get yourself filled with the Spirit. And then if you are filled with the Spirit, use it more than you pray in your natural language. Pray in the Spirit more than you do. It's a gift. It's something. Satan, he's like, what in the world are they saying? Because he can't read in the spirit realm. God's Word is God's wisdom. You can gain wisdom from the Word, but you need knowledge and understanding. Knowledge is knowing how to apply wisdom, God's Word. That's what knowledge is. You know, when a trial comes, use knowledge. Use knowledge. Say, glory to God, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Hallelujah. Roll that thing out of your mind right then. No weapon formed against me will prosper. And just raise your hand, praise Him. Or just praise Him. You don't have to raise your hand necessarily, but just praise Him. Say, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I'm in another trial, and you are my deliverer. You will come through. You can't fail. You are a faithful God. Your name is faithful and true. Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans 8:28. It says, for we know. I read that one time. There it is. I read that one time and the Lord said, do you know? Yeah, you know. And I thought, well, I'm not sure if I really know. I mean, I'm not there yet, Lord. I'm working. See, I'm like, we know all things. I'm preaching it. All things work together. And then He hit my life and He'd be like, do you know? Do you know? But see, and then the truck deal. See, me and Teresa, when we got saved, we had it so rough for 7 years of our own. I mean, all of our choices caused us, it seemed like a lot of unnecessary stuff. Why? Because we were serving Satan. We didn't really realize we're serving Satan. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you are against me. So we were against God. We were against Him, not really realizing that we were against Him. But anyways, you know, when we went after the Lord, we're like, He's all we got anyways. We got nothing left anyways. We're going after Him. We're going to go after God. And so we turned preaching on 24/7. You know, I mean, praise-a-thon going on. I mean, to one time, Travis, 5 or 6 years old, and the glory was so much in the living room, he just starts blazing around it. I mean, just running around the coffee table there because of the glory of God in our house. I was in a hurry to get home because my wife had an atmosphere at home that was faith-filled, and it felt like a refuge to me when I drove up on my place. Why? Because my wife had praise and work. She spent days getting us some teaching. It took 2 or 3 days for us to download because we had to dial up and technology wasn't like it is now. She spent days getting us series sermons that we could listen to. I'm remodeling our house, and she comes in there, and you want to listen to this? I got this on marriage. And I'm thinking, God, man, how much preaching can we take? But I said, sure, you know. Well, what was happening is God was making me and her strong. He was building a faith comes by hearing, you know. And then the deal down there, not too long after that, I tore up a cab off of a brand new truck. It took him 2 years to build that truck, sent to California and got the cab, and I dropped sheetrock on it and busted that cab on that truck all up. And they all told me, and you would have knew my boss, I mean, you know, he was not a funny guy. I never seen a dude laugh that I didn't think of. You know, he was like a Tasmanian devil on steroids, you know. You know, but anyways, they're gonna kill you. He's gonna kill you. And then they told me the insurance company was going. I said, God's gonna deliver me. I knew this scripture already. Not this one right here and that one over there. That many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers. You got to meditate on the last part of that scripture. Not just on the first part. You got to say, you're my deliverer. You're my deliverer. God's my deliverer. Tell Satan, remind him. I told him the other day, I said, you know, you're going to hell, don't you? People say, you're going back to hell. He ain't never been. He is going to hell, though. And I remind him pretty often, you are going to hell, dude. And I'm not going. Remember, I've got a one-way ticket out of there. His name was Jesus that stripped you of all power. And you ain't going to suggest nothing to me of defeat. Well, the boss wanted me to tell the insurance company something that wasn't so. And so I told my brother was relaying it. And I told my brother, I said, I'm not going to do it. He said, well, that's his story and he's sticking to it. And that was some country song that played back. I never listened to country. Me and Teresa, we like that where they're shaving their eyebrows off. We take trip. What? Pink Floyd. We getting some deep stuff. We ain't messing with that. You can't do acid and all that and listen to There's a Tear in My Beer. I mean, you gotta have some action going on, man. You know? I mean, our boom box were worth more than our house at that time, praise the Lord. Well, anyhow, we'd come out. You know what I told him? I said, I'm not going to do it. I said, this is my story, and I'm sticking to it. I'm saved. I said, and I'm not going to tell something that ain't so. I'm not going to do it. And so I said, you go tell him that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And if you don't want to go tell him, I will. I'll tell him myself. I said, well, fine. Well, he went in there, told him, and he come back out, and he said, no, you'll do it. And I said, well, just find out. You're going to find out when they insurance. And I made up my mind. I thought, I'll lose my job, and I thought, I'm employed by heaven now, but God will give me something better. God, if I make a choice for God, see, that's what makes you strong under pressure when you make choices towards God. Yeah, choices towards the will of God, because that's towards Him. Well, you know what? Y'all know the story, but a truck came in the next morning. They opened the gate up, and I parked my truck out in the middle of a big thing where we loaded it, and this dude come around through there like he didn't even see that truck and jackknifed, and the bed went up and ripped the cab off. And I shouted, glory to God! I said, did y'all see my God? I told them all, because that guy was supposed to, the insurance company coming that day, you know. I said, did y'all see what God did for me, anybody? I said, I told you. And I looked at my brother. I said, I told you I'm not going to tell them. I said, and my God delivered me. He delivered me. I didn't have to tell. They had to pay for the truck. the company that run over it had to pay for the truck. That never happened. As long as I'd been there, nobody's ever come around through there and didn't see a 35-foot-long truck sitting out in the middle of the field. I mean, a parking lot, and just like it's not there. He must have just woke up. No, that was God. That was God delivering me like he said he would. Put the 1 Peter up. 1 Peter 5, Beth, please. Now, the Lord spoke to me this morning. He said, now, you know, he said that getting strong under pressure takes exercising. To be strong spiritually, the Bible says in Proverbs 18:14, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in his infirmities. But a wounded spirit, a weak spirit, a not spiritually strong person, he said, who can bear? In other words, there's not a lot to do with that. But a strong spirit. And what makes it, not getting your mind knowing the word really is what makes you strong. What makes you strong is when you utilize that word when something comes up, you use it. And I mean you use it and you practice it and you practice it and you practice it. It's called exercising our faith. So we got to exercise about your sister. We got to exercise about them that ain't coming to church. Got to exercise. And then we got to stay on the front line when he comes to us to get us like other folk. I told the devil, I said, you know what, devil? I said, the call of God is without repentance. I said, in other words, Satan, you know that God don't change his mind. I told him, I said, I may retire and not do a lot of things in this earthly realm, but far as the gospel, I will preach it till I'm gone. I'm just giving him some bad news. I'm just letting him know I ain't backed up 30 years other than one time. And God even delivered me out of that. He's faithful. He brought me the word that morning. When Bradley started that sermon, Teresa come put a note on the door. I got discouraged because people wouldn't get faithful to church. And I felt like I left all of my ministry at my church, obedience to God to come down here. He asked me to come down here. God did start a church. And I told my pastor, a few months before, I said, I believe God wants me to start a church. And he said, I see the evidence in your life, Brother Scotty. You know how to hear from the Lord. And I'm with you, Well, I come down here and I felt like, I mean, people wouldn't get faithful, and I'd get all excited when they're faithful, and then I'd get down. Not their fault, mine. My perception. See, I was looking at the things that are seen. I was looking at all of that to determine my success. But your success is not in all of that. Your success is in Jesus. It's in identifying with Him, identifying with His Word, and all of that. Well, Teresa puts a sign on there and she said, oh, let's go. I said, I don't want to go to church. I'm not going to church. See, when you get in the flesh and you get in unbelief and all that, you don't want nothing to do with God. You don't want nothing to do with the things of God. Just leave me alone with it. Just leave me alone with it. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to pray. I don't want to read my Bible. And we're used to, you be like, I'm reading, praying, I'm going to church, and I'm going to, everybody can come visit me on Sunday morning. You better bring your church clothes because that's where you'll be. People didn't come to my house. Well, Sunday's the only time we can visit. I guess we won't be seeing you. Bring your church clothes. My family ain't missing church for you. You're not that special. God is special. Hallelujah. That was my perception of God. I thought if he brought me out and delivered me from suicide and I didn't kill myself, my son ain't raised by another man. He's raised by his daddy. Praise God. If God can deliver me from shooting myself and he can bring my family back, he told me. He said, if you'll serve me, he said, I'll bring your family back. Told me that morning. I'd never heard the voice of God, but I knew that was God. And I said, okay, God, I'm going to serve you. Well, I don't know what that means. Number one, I found out, going to church. That's all of the will of God was. And read the Bible and go to church. Well, God brought... she said, well, let's go to church. I said, I don't want to go to church. If I want to go to church, I got to learn my church. You know, and I'm laying there and I thought, oh, man, what if she backslides? On account of me, I won't go to church. What if she backslides? You know, and I thought, oh, man. So I thought, well, I better go to church, because then the Bible says, woe unto those who the stumbling block comes. Now, I know what Jesus said. He'd be better off, you know, millstone tied around a big, I've always seen it as a concrete 8-inch block tied around your neck and throw you out in the river. You're better off. And I thought, well, I'm not going to be responsible for that. And so I told her, I said, well, that's fine. Give me some clothes. We get up there, and Brad gets up there, and I'm like, oh, I've heard him a million times. Somebody I really love, you know. And he said, well, you know, the title this morning is You've Lost Your Motivation. I thought, great.
You lost your motivation.
Great. Great. What a title. Woo. Woo. See, I'm in the flesh, see? That's what I thought. Woo, yeah, buddy. Let's stand up and give him a standing ovation this morning. I'm only there because of her. I don't want her to backslide. If she backslides and I don't go to church, it's my fault. See, sometimes we need to be faithful for others. Come on, somebody. I mean, we need to be faithful for others. It will encourage them to be faithful. It will encourage them to be strong. Well, you know, sitting there, about 10 minutes into it, you know, and he said that about 4 or 5 times. He rang a sermon. About the third or fourth time that he said it, I mean, it just went off on the inside of me. And I thought, is that all that's wrong with me? That's all that's wrong with me. And I thought, this little devil? I mean, you know, I mean, it just hit me, and I thought, glory to God, that's all that's wrong. I mean, I'm eating the rest of that whole sermon. Oh, man, it was good. You've lost your motivation. Yeah, baby, I got it back. I left out of there, and I went like a cowboy with a horse, you know, lassoing cows, boy. I went out calling everybody up. Y'all see on church, see on church. I'm back to church stuff, back to church stuff. Never happened to me again. I learned, don't get your eyes on other folk and what they do and don't do. Keep your eyes on the Lord and the will of God for you, and praise God, and go and set out to do that. And God's anointing and God's power is there, and He will help you. And it says here, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. See, Satan does not want you to give him your troubles to God. Satan wants you to keep them. Satan wants you not to sleep good at night because you can't figure out how to do this. You can't figure out finances. You may be going to lose your job. Well, we got a witness there. He'll give you a better one. Hallelujah. Whatever it may be, you got to learn to cast it over on the Lord. I didn't know how. The Lord spoke to me one time in here because, I mean, Teresa was everything that I wanted. Still is. But I'm talking about back there. I just want a good marriage. You know, I want me and her to be, I mean, you know, just be together and be, you know, have a life, man. You know, and it seemed like that just couldn't happen for us. I mean, it was just devastation after devastation, hurt after hurt, wrong choices, and all of that stuff. Well, I got saved, and the Lord said, give her to me. You know, and I thought, nah, I don't know about that, man. See, because my thinking, give her to the Lord, I don't know if He's going to take her to heaven. I don't know, man. You give something away, it ain't yours no more, right? It's just not yours. So that's the way my thinking was at that time. I know it sounds stupid. And it was, but that's where I was at. I wasn't religious and didn't know nothing about the church and nothing about all of the religious stuff. You know, all I knew is I want a life. Well, you know, I told the Lord, I don't know how to give her to you, Lord. I don't know how. I've made up my mind. I can trust God, surely, you know. And so the Lord, He just quickly said, shut your eyes. He said, and see My hands coming down. He said, and place her in My hands. That's when I realized that I could use my imagination for God. I realized that my imagination, God give it to me. So I could imagine Him healing me. I could imagine Him delivering me, bringing me through the Red Sea, delivering me from that truck thing. You can see God through your imagination. If I told you to shut your eyes and imagine a purple polka-dotted cow. You could see it. You could imagine that and see a cow and got polka dots. How many knows God give us that so that we can use our imagination God's way? Renew our mind to God's word. Well, you know, I mean, and so I did it. I said, okay, God. I said, I just imagined the hands of Jesus, and I imagined me having Teresa and putting Teresa into her hands. And you know what? And he told me, he said, don't take it back. Casting all your care over on him. I didn't even know the scripture said that. Casting, that means to roll over, to give to hand to. Roll over, for he cares for you. And then Satan can't take advantage of you when he does. He says it right there. You know? And so, you know what? When I did that, and then a little bit later on, I was reading it. It says, he's able to keep that thou commit to him. And I thought, glory to God, I'll never lose her. I'll never lose her. As long as I serve God, I will never lose her. You know? And a freedom came to me. And that started a process of getting rid of that fear and that jealousy and that control and that trying to take care of life and all of that. And we're coming up here in just a few days, 39 years. Praise God. 39 years we've been married. Been together 40-something anyways. That's a testimony. Testimony of God. Now, if I wanted to trade her in, sure. All of y'all women can be little hellcats if you want to be. Y'all all smiling, got your makeup and stuff and sugar and all of that on your lips and all of that right now. But I can tell you right now, get you at home, get you mad, upset, and I mean, y'all claw the house down. And the husbands, we're the same way if we ain't careful. But some of us are getting seasoned. You know, seasoned. Like you do your iron skillets, you season them. You know, they don't get no rust and all that on them then. They don't get none of that corruption, praise the Lord. How many knows we're not to be moved when things come our way? God, and we're able. We're able to do it. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And if God be for us, who can be against us? You know? Praise God. I mean, the world is out of control right now. I'm talking about demonic spirits. I'm seeing stuff now that I'm like, we've got to be in the last days. Men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. Haughty, high-minded. They won't hear sound preaching anymore. You know, all that stuff, you know. But we're in the greatest times. Isaiah 60 says, he says, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you and upon me, praise God. So I want to encourage you, you know, being strong under pressure is a choice. Your mind, casting down those thoughts and imaginations that are contrary to the Word of God. I preach it here all the time because it is a revelation to me. It's real to me, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against me because of that. But the Word of God is all the evidence a Christian needs to know whether they got victory, whether it's in their marriage, their finances. And then when you find out what the will of God is, then you lay hold of that. And therefore you believe and speak it and say it and tell Satan it. Whatever you need to do, praise God. Lay hold and exercise what you believe. See, if I believe I'm defeated, that's what I'm going to go around. I'm defeated. Oh, woe's me. Nobody knows what you have to go through to be a pastor. God's the only one in hell. God knows. That's sad. A guy told me one time, and I'm going to close with it. I come out of evangelism. I'm all excited about doing the will of God. I really didn't want to start a church. They tried to get me to start a church when I was evangelizing, preaching on the streets. Oh, you're going to be our pastor. No, I'm not going to be your pastor. God ain't told me to pastor. God told me to come down here and preach. Now, y'all getting touched and all that, but we done got the building picked out. I said, not for me. You ain't got the building picked out. I said, God ain't told me. See, you just don't jump up and run with everything that you're offered, you know. You go fast and pray and seek the Lord, you know. But you see, the anointing in your life destroys those yokes and lifts those burdens. So be strong. It's a choice. Just don't give in to stuff, praise God. Make your mind up, hallelujah. And God's already with you. Let's bow our heads. Father, we